We'd like to invite everyone to come forward that's going on the mission trip and get in a bunch.
Team huddle.
Come on, group hug. Group hug. Okay, group hug. Now, anybody who wants to can come up. Okay, this is not a good huddle. Okay, we need actually people in the middle. Okay, we need people in the middle. Okay. Okay, anybody can come up and get around these folks. All right. Okay. And if you're not going to get out of your pew, which is just perfectly fine, reach your hand towards these people. Okay. Don't mess his hair. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay, this is a noteworthy day. Jake does not care about his hair. Okay. Everybody reach your hand towards and agree in prayer. Father God, we thank you for these young people who are going to go and represent us in West Virginia. Lord, we are humbled that they have taken up the cry and that they will go and fulfill needs that are so great in West Virginia after so much flooding and so many things that have happened in that state, Lord. We pray for the people that they will minister to, that truly they will be brought closer to you because of the work of these, our young people. And Father God, we pray as those who love them, that you would keep them safe, that you would guard them, that you would protect them, that you would give them joy in their hearts as they serve you, and that truly that they would get a new understanding of their own walks with you through their service this week. We pray for the leaders, Father God, that you would give them incredible patience and grace as they deal with these young people. We're the parents of these young people, Lord. We know they're going to need it. And we pray right now, Father God, that the work would be good, the work would be hard, and that, Father, the fellowship would be for your glory. So, Father, we pray for traveling mercies. We pray over the van, all the transportation. And we pray, Father God, that the hard work and the laughter that these people will share this week in West Virginia will rise as a praise offering to you. And we pray it in the name of the only one who makes it all possible, Jesus the Christ. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
God bless you guys. All right, off you go. Our scripture lesson for this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. It's a well-known passage. Prepare your hearts for the reading of God's holy word. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord give his blessing to the reading and the hearing of it. I know you get me today instead of Johnny. He's on his way to West Virginia. Don't be disappointed. I'm so happy to see everybody. I kind of miss these visits that we have on a Sunday. Visits? Yes. How are you doing, Miss Presley? Those are some awesome shoes you have on. Very pretty. Well, I wanted to know, Josh, you look at my face. I want to know, how many of you have friends? You have friends? Okay, do you talk? Do you have friends? Okay. Oh my gosh, you have lots of friends. Oh my gosh, that's tons of friends. She's fine. Oh, she would be raiding the... I got you. You have a mother's eye. I understand. Well, you talk. Do you talk to your friends very often? Presley, do you talk to your friends? You do? You talk to your friends? You talk to your friends? Okay, how often do you talk to your friends? Pretty often? Okay, and when you talk to your friends, do you talk to your friends? Pretty often? When you talk to your friends, what do you talk about? You don't know, just like stuff? Okay, what do you talk to your friends about, Lacey? Nobody knows what they talk to their friends? Molly, what do you talk to your friends about? Coming over, like if they can hang out, hanging out together, that's a good thing. Brian, do you talk to your friends about anything in particular? No? Joshy, come here to me. Come here. Anyway, we talk to our friends pretty often, don't we? And we talk to them about things that are going on in our lives, don't we? Like, you know, whether we want to hang out or what we're doing, and we just kind of talk to them about life, don't we? Well, you want to know what? You know what people forget? Is that God is our friend, and that he wants us to talk to him about things that are going on in our lives, you know, and he wants to hang out. And a lot of people forget that about God, that he really wants to hang out with us. Do you think of that very often? No, most people don't. But you know what? We're going to pray today that the Lord remind us that he wants to be our friend and that he wants to hang out with us. And so if we want to be taught, if we want to talk to the Lord, how do you think that we would do that? How do we do that? Do we call him on the phone? No. What do we do when we're, we pray. That's exactly right. We pray. That's how we talk to God, because he wants to be our very best friend. Okay. Our best friend. Yeah. Can we bow our heads and pray? Okay. Folded hands, heads bowed. Awesome. Father God, we thank you that you want to be our friend. And we want to thank you that you want to be our best friend, because we really need one. And we pray that when we forget, that your Holy Spirit would remind us that we can talk to you anytime or any place, and that you are always there to listen. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now, would you grab that basket? Oh my gosh, Ellie beat you. Ellie beat you, Charlotte. Okay, we're getting there. Okay, Presley needs one too. I can't tell you how many times I have heard the words, the doctors have done all that they can and the only thing left for us to do is pray. I hear those words a lot. And no matter where we are when we hear that, words, you know, well, the only thing left to do is pray, our hearts sink, and in our minds we think, oh, has it come to that? It must be hopeless. In our world and in our culture, we do not naturally turn to prayer. We really aren't naturally a praying people. The absolute worst attended service in the church, no matter if it's a contemporary charismatic church, a dead mainline church, or anything in between, the worst attended service is the prayer service. Not only that, today, prayer is not seen really as any kind of an ongoing conversation with God.
Prayer has become something that we do in emergencies. Prayer has become something that we do in desperate times. Prayer is something that we do when we want something. Yet we watch the weather, and if serious storms are forecast, we keep ourselves posted. We watch the Weather Channel. All of us probably have some kind of emergency equipment tucked away somewhere at home. We all do anyway, you know, candles, kerosene lamps, bottled water, maybe even a generator if we can afford it. If there's a lightning strike, the house catches on fire, if the river is going to overflow its banks, all of us here would have the wisdom to evacuate. But we probably wouldn't take much time to pray, because we'd be way too busy for that. Unless we couldn't get out of the house for some reason, or if the evacuation routes were blocked, oh boy, then we'd be praying. When all possible human intervention has been exhausted, when we in our own strength cannot do anything else to affect a situation, then and only then do we say, the only thing left to do is pray. Now, we have returned after a long hiatus to this morning's gospel lesson about prayer. It's about a particular prayer that we say in the church every Sunday and at church meetings in between. It's about a prayer that even the unchurched and even pagans have memorized. One that many pagans really have no trouble saying because they don't think it means anything. Well, this morning's gospel lesson reminds us that we are gathered in this place because of the reality of this well-worn prayer and the need for prayer in general. Jesus didn't come to proclaim God as some kind of an absentee landlord, a God that can only be reached by long distance in case of emergency. Jesus lived his life in daily communion with God. Jesus did pray on some special occasions in the Jordan River when he was believer baptized, in the Garden of Gethsemane when he struggled with his call to go to the cross. He spent all night in prayer before he called the 12 disciples. But Luke tells us that it wasn't only then when Jesus prayed. Luke tells us that prayer was a part of Jesus' regular habit. In Luke 5:16, we are reminded that he would withdraw to deserted places and pray. And in our lesson for this morning, Jesus had just finished praying when the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. They wanted to learn a special prayer that would set them apart as Jesus' disciples. Every rabbi taught their disciples to pray certain prayers that would identify them as belonging to one rabbi or another. And they wanted to pray in a way that would identify them, that when people would hear them, it would identify them as, you know, those guys are Jesus' disciples. Prayer is a discipline. Prayer is not the natural thing for human beings to do. Now think about it. If prayer would be the default behavior for human beings, don't you think that the disciples would have already been praying on a regular basis? They would have been men of prayer. In the Gospels, there is no mention of the disciples' prayer habits. In fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, while Jesus was praying his heart out to his Father, disciples fell asleep. Prayer is not an inborn drive for us. Prayer is not an automatic tendency for us. So many sermons and devotions seem to assume that prayer is natural, that all we need are just a few pointers on how to speak the words in just the right way. And people file out of the sanctuary, and maybe they're fired up by a positive message, but then they go home and nothing happens, and nothing changes. Because prayer is just one more ought to that is on our list of things that we never get to. So it goes by the wayside. When I counsel people about to get married, I have very few requirements. The first one is that they have to find a common church where they can both worship together. I have a whole list, wherever you are, that you can find one in the middle. The family that worships together stays together better. The foundation must be strong. The second requirement is they must start praying together. Nothing elaborate, no big mellifluous prayers. Just before dinner's fine. As long as it is not a memorized prayer. Believe it or not, that's the requirement that seems to trip everybody up the most. For a husband and wife, the most powerful thing they can do for their marriage is pray together. That's why the enemy will do everything in his power to keep them from it, and he usually does a good job. Prayer is not natural, because prayer is centered on God and not us. And we like everything, including prayer, to be about us. Our first choice of what we do in life is not usually the worship of God. The Westminster Catechism answer to the very first question is that our chief end in life is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Well, you know what? That's a real wonderful sentiment, and it certainly is scriptural, but in reality, there is a huge difference between what our chief end ought to be and what our wants really are, and how we are really living our lives. A famous preacher once said that Jesus came to make worshipers out of rebels. You see, we have to allow Jesus to conquer us, to conquer our rebellious spirits, to conquer our sinful natures, to conquer our self-involved, self-motivated wills. That's why Jesus lived our life, died our death, and rose in victory to free us from ourselves so that we could love God, so that we could love others, and so that we could pray. The prayer that Jesus taught, the Lord's Prayer, is not some magic formula for getting what we want out of God. And let's just be honest, there are those who worship the prayer more than they worship the Lord Himself. Just watch me try to skip it some Sunday. Jesus taught the disciples this prayer in response to the humble request, Lord, teach us to pray. And this prayer can only truly be prayed by those who trust in Jesus as Lord for their lives, those who understand what the words mean. The only kind of prayer that comes easily to fallen human beings are prayers of selfishness. You know, now 9 years ago, Alan Motts was not in worship. And he's never let me forget it. So, Alan, this is for you. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my life. No help from my friends. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Well, I don't know if you remember that little ditty by Janis Joplin or not. Okay, and I want to stop hearing about it, okay? I know you've been waiting for it, and you were like a dog with a bone. But that song actually had other verses. Listen to verse 3. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? See how I changed keys? Did you see that? Man, that was not intentional. Better key for me, I guess. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a... Well, the last time I sang that, when Alan was absent, he has always asked me for that encore performance, and he got it today. You're going to hear that again in 9 years. Now, we may all laugh at that song, but do we pray so differently? Prove that you love me, and buy the next round. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. We forget that prayer isn't about us. You know, when a mother heard her son praying this long list of requests, she taught him, as all mothers should teach their children, "Son, when you pray to the Lord, don't give him instructions. Just report for duty." Now, that mom wasn't discouraging her son from bringing his needs to God. He wants us to pour out our hearts to him in prayer. After all, Jesus tells us to ask for forgiveness. He tells us to ask for daily bread. He tells us to ask for help and strength in times of need and temptation. But it's important that we don't view God as some kind of a cosmic bellhop. We can't think of God as an errand runner whose purpose is to fulfill all of our wishes. When we pray the prayer that Jesus taught, we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Now, surely we humbly tell him our worries and our fears, the needs we have with our limited understanding. But we humbly lay them before the throne of God and we leave them there because we trust that he knows what's best for us. So a prayer is not a natural tendency for us. And if it is so out of character for us to communicate with God, the question has to be asked, then, should we just give up on it? Absolutely not. Jesus taught us to pray. And he is more than a teacher. He is more than an example. He is the one who came to be our great high priest. And he practiced communion with God. And he himself came to share with us his communion with God. So he not only offers himself as a sacrifice for us, he also established a holy priesthood. And he made us priests with him. And as our great high priest, in the words of Hebrews 7:25, he always lives to make intercession for us. When we pray as Christians, we enter into a life of prayer that is always going on. And we enter into the prayer life of Jesus himself, who always lives to pray for us. He is the one who makes our weak prayers strong. He is the one who takes our selfish prayers and turns them into prayers of praise. And he is the one that takes our rebellious spirits and redeems us and makes us a people of prayer, all for his glory. Now, the Lord himself gives us the grace to come to the place in our Christian walk, the place where every Christian must come to in their Christian walk, where we can earnestly say, "Thy will be done." Jesus himself first gives us the heart to pray, and then he teaches us how we must pray. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father God, you know who we are. And you know that we are always trying to make everything about us. We repent for that, Father God. And we pray that you would get us out of ourselves. We pray, Father, that we would look always around us, that we would not wallow in any pain or bitterness or trials or struggles, but that, Father God, you would heal us so that we might be useful in your kingdom. We give you permission, Father God, to make us a people of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. Our benediction is taken from the book of James. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise.
Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray earnestly for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Amen.